Members of the Sewage and Water Board's Finance and Administration Committee learned yesterday that the drainage system portion of the overall system has no cash. The executive director says, Ghassan Corban, that they are struggling. And here to talk to us about that is Joe Geruso, member of the New Orleans City Council. Joe, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell. How are you?
So, Joe, let me just start it out this way. I mean, they knew that they were spending down a lot of money in the aftermath of the floods in July and August of 2017. And it doesn't take a financial wizard to figure out what the burn rate is. And a year later now, a little over a year later, the revelation, we have no cash.
Yeah, we spent about $80 million on the back end and front ends of the system to make sure the catch basins and interior pipes and power and pump were in the positions that they needed to be. But at the same time, we have a limited pot of money that goes towards drainage. And so we needed having one eye on making sure the city was safe, but also one eye on setting us up for the future.
So just for the benefit of the listeners, the pot of money for the drainage, that's the canals and the subsurface stuff, is an ad valorem tax, a property tax. There's so many mills that are associated to that that generate the revenue for the drainage system, correct?
That's right. So there's three different systems. There's sewer, water, drainage. The sewer and the water side are supported by what we get in our bills every month, and those are subject to 10% increases until 2020. By contrast, they get about now $100 million in projected revenue every single year. By contrast, drainage is only supported by, as you said, the ad valorem tax, which is a little over 16 mills, and that generates about half as much money. So sewer and water are doing better on the reserve side, but drainage, obviously, because it has less money and because it's the system that needs the most TLC, is struggling.
So not unlike any other business, you need working capital. That's how you pay your daily bills, you pay your people and stuff, because of the timing differentials as to when your revenue comes in, which is the exact case here with drainage. In New Orleans, you pay your property taxes in advance of the year, unlike most other jurisdictions in the state of Louisiana that collects it in arrears. So they don't get their money until January, correct?
That's right. So they're not going to get flush money again until January. The other piece of news that you saw in one of the newspaper articles, though, is it looks like some of the different systems are owed money either from the state or the federal government. And it looks like Sewage and Water Board is going to pursue those. So there's two pieces to all of this. Number one is you got to do everything that you can to get your federal or state dollars that you're either owed or that you're entitled to. And, of course, the second piece that you haven't hit on yet, but I'm anticipating you're going to, is you got to be able to collect the revenue on the sewer and the water side to make sure you have the cash on hand that you need.
Well, I've talked to several folks that have appealed their bill, and they're in the appeal process on that side, and now they're getting new bills that reflect exactly what the old bill is, and they didn't even know they had gone through the appellate process yet. and then we're actually taking that working capital, if the articles are correct, we're taking the working capital from sewer and water to help out drainage. That is a very dangerous fiscal strategy.
It's not long-term sustainable, for sure. And you're right. I mean, there's been two issues with the bills and the appellate process. Number one, I'm somewhat happy to hear that you have people who seem to be getting it straightened out before they go to an administrative hearing. But I've attended about six of those myself, just so I can have a feeling of what they look like. And Newell, in each instance, it was really easy to see that there were estimates on a customer's bill in the last 12 to 18 months that were just wrong. And so you shouldn't have to repeatedly go through that process. Along the same lines, we've been hearing now for 6 or 7 months that Sewage and Water Board is owed somewhere between $20 and $23 million in delinquent bills. We've got to start making some dents in that. And the council has suggested some ways to do that. For example, we have been waiting and asking for satellite offices in each of the districts. Let's just open those up and get people to come to those offices directly so they don't have to go to St. Joseph Street or across the river to pay their bills.
Yeah, I mean, there needs to be some ease of administration in order to get the revenue in, especially when you're in the crisis. So when we think about how we're going to deal with the drainage side of this moving forward, Joe, is there going to be the issuance of additional bond money, or what? How are we going to get to where we able to maintain and keep up with the maintenance demands of the system when we're in a cash-strapped position?
So the idea that probably has the most, and I want to be very careful how I say this, intellectual support, but not, I think, pragmatic or political yet, is a drainage fee. And as you well know, but so the listeners know, there's a difference between a fee and a tax. And the main difference with the fee is everybody has to pay into the fee. They're not tax exempt. So that means hospitals, universities, other nonprofits that normally don't pay property taxes, like churches, get a zero. If you did a drainage fee as opposed to a tax, all of those entities, including residents, would pay, which would also theoretically mean the fee would be much lower than the tax would be for a constituent. The problem is this, though. How do you go to people and say to them, we want to raise a drainage fee, which we all think we may really need, but we know there's problems with the billing system. We see that the service cuts aren't getting fixed in a timely fashion, and you don't have confidence. And so it's a rock and a hard place that you're between, because the system needs the money, but until the confidence is restored, you're not going to be able to get it.
So when we assess the fees, and if you could stay with me through the break, that would be great. I want to talk about the sanctity of the tax rolls, the blighted property, and when we making these projections on the fees, are we removing all of these blighted properties that we're having trouble collecting monies from the owners at the present time, and whether or not these numbers are actually going to be skewed and not of any value before we even start. We'll be right back after the break. Joe Geruso, City Council member. This is Newell on WWL. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break on WWL. We're back, and we're talking to Councilman Joe Geruso. The Sewage and Water Board drainage system is out of cash. This was revealed to a committee, the Finance and Administration Committee of the Sewage and Water Board, on Wednesday. And the executive director says they're struggling. There's no question about it. Joe, I wanted to ask you, you know, when we start thinking about going the fee route, and I can completely and totally understand why they want to do that, but are you confident that the sanctity of the tax rolls are actually in place, that they're sound, they're secure? There's a lot of blighted property. We used to hear about that in the previous administration, of trying to get the blighted property back into the stream of commerce so that they could be healthy, income-producing properties and pay their fees and what they owe the city.
Yeah, it's a great question. So the answer is, are we going to be able to capture all of the property as we stand right now? I think the answer to that is no. And it's part of the reason why the council has consistently pushed to, one, hire somebody who can look at all of the tax rolls and determine whether or not there's any homestead exemption, either outright fraud or missed opportunities. And in fact, our office noticed one, and we emailed it to the assessor, so we put somebody back on the tax rolls. You know, the other thing, Newell, in addition to the blighted properties, as you mentioned, that are an issue, you have nonprofits who either are nonprofit or name, or really not operating anymore either, who aren't paying their taxes like they should too. So before we go this route, you're going to have to do a top-to-bottom review, make sure you got as many people on the rolls as possible, and then obviously try and collect. And the other piece is, we're going to have to go out and obviously not only win the hearts and minds of the people, but start preparing the church, the nonprofits, the hospitals for this as well, and make sure they're at the table and not on the menu.
You know, I mean, it would seem to me that it's, you're putting the cart before the horse, and you would want to determine whether or not you have an adequate tax base for the needs of the city and go through that evaluation and determination so that you have a pretty decent idea or you get your hands around a number or a target number that you need to go get.
No, you're 100% right about that. And the other thing is, let's also be honest while we're having this discussion. Jefferson Parish, I know, has a lower overall millage rate than New Orleans does. There are a lot of New Orleanians who just feel tapped out right now, and their property taxes are high, the sales tax is high. You got energy bills you got to pay. The sewage and water bill comes in, and it's wrong. And they're saying to themselves, can I afford to live here still? And so I think we've not only have an obligation, as you said, to not put the cart before the horse, but you also got to make sure that we're maximizing our services that we provide for people too.
Well, the same things when you look at it holistically and you make the determination as to whether or not you're collecting the appropriate sales taxes. The same thing with property taxes. There's been an issue in the city of reassessing property at least once every 4 years. And how you go about doing that. I think the assessor has taken the position that he can do this in quarters, one quarter of the city, the next quarter of the city. Well, if you're the last quarter, you're good, especially when you're paying in advance. But if you're the first quarter reassessment, you're paying for longer than everybody else, and it just doesn't seem fair. And these are the things operationally that I think we need to get our hands around and on top of. Separate and apart from the fact that the assessor gets a percentage of the tax roll filed. If he wants to increase his budget, he can go out and do some things in a very predatory way, and he has historically increased the budget, and then they get defeated when they take an appeal, and there's no credit back to the city.
Yeah, well, we have a number of problems along those lines, and you and I have discussed, I think both privately and publicly, the city needs to do a much better job, as long as the sales tax is where it needs to be, and making sure that it's getting collected. How many cash businesses that are here that are way under-collected? And that is the lowest of low-hanging fruit that we need to seize on. I'll tell you another problem, Newell, for people who are here, and I got actually an email about it this morning. We've had people, because of the tax plan, particularly this year, who paid their taxes personally or in early December, and then their bank paid the second part of their taxes. So, A, the city allowed you to double pay your property taxes when you didn't need to. But then, B, in some cases, it's taking 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months before you get a refund. That's not right either. We got to make sure we get the people back their money and do it a little bit faster.
No, absolutely. And you know, I think there needs to be a compliance audit to the existing laws and everything else that goes on now to see whether or not, and determining that number is the tax base suitable to finance the operations of city government at the present time?
Well, that's right. And look, we start our budget hearings tomorrow. And what we are tasked with doing is looking at the revenue that we're getting from property taxes, sales taxes, license fees, and other sources, and being make sure that it's spent appropriately. And one of the areas I have a lot of concern about is as I look at public works, and I personally think that the number one goal of city government, parish government, is to provide for public safety. And streets are part of that. And there's not only not an increase in spending for cleaning catch basins or the interior pipes or potholes. According to the budget, there's a decrease. And I don't know how we justify to the people who live in Lakeview or Gentilly or Venetian Isles that we're going to spend less money keeping them safe from flooding, particularly when we're not in hurricane season right now and we know this is when we should be looking at cleaning out those items.
Well, Joe, you know what walk of life I come from, and what I'm concerned about most is public safety. And with public safety, obviously, is law enforcement, fire, and EMS. And I'm curious as to where we are on the plus side of hiring new officers. I'm told that we're probably not going to be far on the plus side over net zero for the year.
So I met with the chief yesterday about that, and I was told that last year NOPD was at 1189 they will end this year with 12-11, which is more than I expected because I'd heard the exact same thing, that it'd be net zero. And then there's a recruiting class starting on Monday. And, of course, on top of all of that, my concern is also about overtime spending, right? Because when you're depleted, then you got to spend extra money to put more police on the street. And you've emphasized repeatedly the necessity for response time, and I couldn't agree with you more. So also, what number of police do we need to get to so we can start cutting that overtime number to make it much smaller? So we have not only the right amount of patrol people, but also the right amount of detectives that you're going to need for murder, rape, and other significant cases.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. In the budget, where are we as it relates to the numbers for public safety? Do you know?
Yeah, so there's an increase in the budget for the police. They actually get the largest overall increase for about $12 million. Fire department goes up by a little bit, and EMS goes up by a little bit. What's baked into the budget is also supposed to be more revenue for the city as well as a result of some work the mayor's office has done. And they should be applauded for being able to go out and make sure that where they can capture that extra revenue, they're doing so.
But is this recurring revenue or is it just one-time revenue?
This is recurring on the EMS side because I think they're maximizing their contracts that they have and ensuring that they're actually collecting and not leaving money on the table. There are obviously places where one-time revenue I want to be very careful about and understand that is a temporary thing, that we're not plugging into the budget year over year. And in fact, another area that I have concern is that we built up our fund balance, right, our piggy bank, to almost $30 million. And under the proposed budget right now, we'd spend that down to $3 million. And I don't know about you, but in our family, the refrigerator breaks, the car has a problem, you know, your kid has to get braces all of a sudden. You want to have that extra money you can rely on when inevitably you're going to need it in the middle of the year.
And I think the standard that's used by the Government Finance Officers Association is 3 months' worth of expenditures in reserve. And obviously,
yeah.
I don't know what y'all's monthly burn rate is on expenses, but it's far greater than $3 million, that I can promise you.
I agree, and I think what we don't want to have to do is mid-year looking at cutting essential city services to make up for something that is unforeseen but also predictable.
Well, especially if you know that the high certainty that it's going to happen.
That's right.
Because then that document is not really worth the paper it's written on in a huge way. So. All righty, Joe, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm sure we'll be talking about this some more in the future. Always appreciate your time and always appreciate your insight.
Thanks, Newell. Have a good day.
And you too. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back. We want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? They've run out of cash. And what's the alternatives going to be? And where are we going to go when we return? This is Newell on WWL.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.